Okay, good morning. The people are sitting in different places. Stay there. It'll keep me anchored. I just got in at 10 o'clock last night, so I'm still moving internally about 500 miles an hour. It's a long trip back, and it takes a while to settle down. Steve got back last night, too, I believe, and Michael gets back Monday night. Oh, Steve's here, yeah. The three of us were in Hong Kong for 5 days, and before that, I was in Tunisia, and Nancy was with me in Paris, and then Albania, and then Hong Kong. And Hong Kong was a pretty remarkable time. There were some things developing there that will involve many of us in the future. We are moving into the middle letters of Paul. Those four letters are Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. But as we begin this series, I'm still not quite ready for the way that the four are lining up for that first book. And I don't know if you remember when we did the early letters of Paul, I did about 6 messages at the beginning until I got myself saturated in enough that I felt like we were ready to be able to write. Same truth here. I'm going to mix this morning a little bit with a report of the trip that I was on. But I want to do something unique with the letters. Let me move ahead here for just a second. we're going to look at a few passages in each one of the four letters in order, and particularly looking at the common theme of participating with Paul in the progress of the gospel, but the enormous emphasis, again, he put on naming individuals. The questions that you'll discuss at the table are, how did the churches participate with Paul in the progress of the gospel? Who were some of the key individuals and what roles did they play? And what does this tell us about Paul's strategy? And how should this shape our lives and thinking today? Now, I'm going to read through these sections, and then you think of the questions. You got the questions in front of you on top. You've got all the texts with you, and again, I got back late last night, so my reading ability isn't always at the top anyway, so we'll see what happens when, but it's better to be able to concentrate at one time, I think, all the way through and then discuss. In Ephesians, because of all this, and because I'd heard that you are loyal and faithful to Jesus the Master, and that you show love to all God's holy people, I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that God, the God of King Jesus our Lord, the Father of glory, would give you in your spirit the gift of being wise, of seeing things people can't normally see, because you are coming to know him and to have eyes of your inmost self open to God's light. Then you will know exactly what the hope is that goes with God's call. You will know the wealth of the glory of his inheritance in his holy people. This is the explanation. God has made us what we are. God has created us in King Jesus for good works that he prepared ahead of time as the road we must travel. It is important that you should know how things are with me and what I'm up to. So our dear Tychius will tell you about it. He is a loyal servant in the Lord. I sent him to you with this in mind so that you may know how things are with us, so that he may encourage your hearts. From Paul and Timothy, slaves of King Jesus, to all the holy ones in King Jesus who are in Philippi, together with overseers and ministers. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and King Jesus the Lord. I thank my God every time I think of you. I always pray with joy whenever I pray for you all. I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you soon, so that I in turn may be encouraged by getting news about you. I have nobody else of his quality. He will care genuinely about how you are. But I did think it necessary to send Epaphroditus to you. He is my brother. He worked alongside me and fought alongside me, and he served as your agent in tending my needs. I have special appeal with which goes to Yodia and Syntyche. Please, please come to a common mind in the Lord. And here's a request for you too, my loyal comrade. Please help these women. They have struggled hard in the gospel alongside me, as have Clement and my fellow workers. Give my greetings to all God's people in King Jesus. The family with me here send their greetings. All God's people send you greetings, especially those from Caesar's household. Now Colossians, Paul, an apostle of King Jesus by God's purpose, and Timothy, my brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the King's faithful family, grace to you and peace from God our Father. You see, I'd like you to know just what a struggle I am having on behalf of you and the family in Laodicea and all the people who don't know me by sight. Devote yourselves to prayer. Keep alert in it with thanksgiving. While you're about it, pray for us too, that God will open in front of us a door for the word, so that we may speak of the mystery of the King, which is why I'm here in chains. And our dear brother Tychius will tell you all my news. He is faithful servant, indeed a fellow slave in the Lord. That is why I'm sending him to you, to let you know how things are with us and to encourage your hearts. I'm sending Onesimus, who is a dear and faithful brother. He is one of your own number. They will tell you everything that's going on here. Aristarchus, who's here in jail with me, sends you greetings. So does Mark, Barnabas' nephew. You received instruction from him. If he comes to you, do make him welcome. Jesus Justus sends greetings as well. These three are the only fellow Jews I have among my colleagues for God's kingdom, and they have been an encouragement to me. Epaphras, one of your own folk and also one of King Jesus' slaves, sends you his greetings. He's always struggling in prayer on your behalf, praying that you may stand firm and mature and have your minds fully settled on everything God wants you to do. I can bear witness that he's gone to a lot of trouble on your behalf and also on the behalf of the family in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved doctor, sends greetings, and so does Demas. Pass on my greetings to the family in Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. When this letter has been read to you, make sure it's read in Laodicea as well, and you too should read the letter that will come on to you from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take care to complete the service you have received from the Lord. I'm signing off in my own hand, Paul. Remember the chains that I'm wearing. Grace and peace be with you. Paul, a prisoner of King Jesus in Philemon, and Timothy, our brother, to our beloved Philemon, our colleague and partner, and Aphia, our sister, and Archippus, comrade in arms, and to God's people who meet in their house. I am appealing to you about my child, the one I have fathered here in prison, Onesimus, Mr. Useful. This time, there was a time when he was useless to you, but now he's very useful to you and to me. But at the same time, get a guest room ready for me. I'm hoping, you see, that through your prayers, I will be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in King Jesus, send you greetings. So does Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, and Luke, my colleagues here. So what we're after is how did the churches participate with Paul? Well, some of the key individuals. These are all these middle letters, and it's a similar kind of challenge to all the churches and to... A kind of a spirit that Paul wanted to go throughout the churches. What does it tell us about his strategy? And again, How should this shape our lives and thinking today? Big pile of names when you consider the short letters that were there. So go ahead and discuss it at your tables. Okay, finish where you're at. Give you another minute or two. Okay, let's take a have a little bit of discussion on this. I hope you found it kind of refreshing, just reflecting on all those names. I mean, we've done it before. I saw it a lot more in the early letters than before. All of Romans 16, all of 1 Corinthians 16 is just filled with names. But I forgot, especially in Colossians, how, again, how much Paul takes time to greet, to thank, and just to acknowledge participation of key people all through these letters. So in a way, this morning will be light, but I think it'll kind of get us into the spirit of the fact that these are real letters to real churches with real people that can all be acknowledged. So what is this... what were some of the key individuals, and what roles did they play? That's kind of an information question. Actually, you can comment on any one of the four questions. Aaron, you look like you were about ready to say something. Yeah. Oh, no. Over here. Scott.
Something that kind of struck me as we were going through each of these passages is, and maybe this is obvious because of how early we are in the church and its growth and how close we are being in the first century to Christ, but there isn't a heavy organizational structure here. Paul is telling people to go different places, and he's warning people, hey, these people are coming. It's very ad hoc. He's doing everything on the fly, and his apostolic team is just going different directions, seemingly all over the place. Obviously, this is over the length of a significant period of time, but it just does seem like, in some ways, if you didn't know what was going on, it seemed like Paul's kind of shooting from the hip.
All right. Yeah, give it to Aaron. He just looks like he's pondering.
Okay. this is almost a summary thought. Well, not almost. It is. It's clear. Clearly, he was engaging people in everything from prayer to actual coming out and participating with him in his travels to hospitality to... running interference between warring sisters, maintaining a network of engagement in not just his work. I mean, he was the point person for it, but it was all of their work, and he was engaging all of them in the process, as opposed to any kind of, well, we'll give Paul money and let him go off and evangelize a heathen kind of thing. They were engaged in the mission. So now do I look like I have something to say?
Yeah. Somebody take the mic away from Aaron, all right?
And I was just going to say that actually I thought reading through here that Paul has quite a strategy, and he's got that in mind with what he's laying out with sending these people back to these churches with the letters, that he really had this planned. I don't think it was anything off the cuff at all.
What kind of feeling do you think that, I don't know for sure what I'm after on this, the way he addresses the churches, the way he addresses individuals, remember he said 2-3 times, so that you'll know what I'm up to and where, you know, where I'm at. What do you think that kind of communication is there for? Boy, that hand went straight up.
So this answer is still a little half-baked, so hopefully I can formulate it as I'm answering. So when I was first reading through this, I was thinking about it from the standpoint of the audience, you know, trying to think, okay, why was Paul saying all these names? And trying to put myself in the place of the church that would be receiving the letter. And and I think the answer is part of his strategy, where he's wanting them to feel like they are participating with him, and these are people that they should know about. Similarly, with us, if you were to write an email from China or wherever, and you had mentioned key leaders that we've met, we feel like we're part of it. You know, it's not just us here, but we're connected in the work that's going on elsewhere. And so he wanted them to feel like they were part of what was going on, and to realize they are part, and they are part of something bigger. It's not just going on in their area, but it's part of the overall work that's happening. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it's all they all do. I'm just a little punchy this morning. Don't you kind of almost get the idea again and again that it's like one big family? You know, it's like a global family.
One thing I noticed that I thought was interesting is how specifically Tychicus is mentioned both in Ephesians and in Colossians. And I don't know how much of a gap there is, but as far as my knowledge is, there's a good 10-year gap between those two books being written. Because I thought the Colossians was like his first or second journey, and Ephesians was while he was in Rome. And so the assessment that I was thinking of that was, these are partnerships. These are people that he's working with continually throughout his ministry, and he's working with them throughout. It's not just, I was in this city, I just went to the next city, and I'm sending a letter back saying, hey, be with these people, good luck, and leaving them there. He stays in touch with the people that he's working with, and he continues to work with them.
Good, good, good insight. Julie?
I was noticing with Epaphroditus how he is noted as having worked alongside Paul and fought alongside him, but also served as your agent in tending to my needs. So seeing him as serving in this liaison role to bring the awareness of what the needs are and to engage the local church in participating in those needs.
Good. Yeah, he was actually sent by Philippi. The thing that just stood out to me, and I'm going to walk you through, I'm going to point out a couple things from the passages, but these are real churches. They're small, full of real people working together in teams, in family clusters, laying a foundation that's going to cause the church to multiply throughout the world. We're in another generation, but we can do the same thing. Any one of us as leaders could walk, could write from wherever we are, point out different individuals that are making some unique contributions, but yet greet all the churches, the families at the same time. Very similar today, and as we think around the world, and many of the believers that we participate with around the world same thing. Let me make a couple observations on this. I love the way he says, it's in 17 that he's praising them, has been praising them, and then asks that God would give you in your spirit the gift of being wise, of seeing things people can't normally see because you're coming to know him. And he goes on in 2:10, God has made us what we are. God has created us in King Jesus for good works that he prepared ahead of time as the road we must travel. And then he says, it's important that you should know how things are with me. And he says it again, I've sent him with this in mind so that you may know how things are with us, so that he may encourage your hearts. So the church itself, his prayer is that as the road we must travel, so that all the churches themselves are to participate with him. In that participation, they can begin to see as people can't normally see, but all of it is also wrapped up in being aware of what it is that Paul is doing. And you say, why does he emphasize that? Why does he care that much about them knowing what he's up to and what he's doing? And that is because he is growing. There's a movement that's unfolding in the progress of the gospel, and everybody who's become a Christian and all the churches are to participate in that progress of the gospel and be aware of the fact that they're not just an isolated church or even a small cluster of churches in one of the cities, but there's a growing movement, and everybody needs to participate. It's literally a family, a family, of families, if you think about the growth. Here you see some real significant functions. Timothy's obviously key because these letters are coming with his name signed on it as well. Then there's Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was actually sent by Paul, sent by the Philippian church to assist Paul, evidently full-time. You have Yodi and Syntyche, who are in conflict, but they're fellow workers. When you get to Colossians, you got this whole number of leaders that are collected around him, associated with him. Mark, one of his nephews, back on the scene. Onesimus is going to be picked up in a minute when we get into Philemon. Just a tremendous interconnection of people, sometimes recognized by their profession if they're evidently some type of a benefactor. Refers to them as the family in Laodicea, the family in Colossae, the family in Hierapolis. And then again finishes with a whole list of colleagues. When you put them together, look at the number of people in these four small letters. Ephesians 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 4 mentioned in Philippians, and then the list just grows in Colossians, and Philemon is just one chapter. And you can see everybody that's involved. What I want to do is now think about people that you know as a real result of the networks that God has brought to us. I'm going to walk through and just point out a few individuals. On the trip that I was just on, you remember Ali right here. And this is Ali as well. And we had, how many of you, you know, I don't know who's traveled here with Ali, but how many of you in here have had Ali or one of the team members from Channel North Africa or North Africa in your homes? Okay, quite a few. All right, Ali is a very, very key leader. in North Africa. These guys that are playing, notice they're recording, these guys that are playing here have written a number of songs now that are being sung all across the Arab Spring countries. There's about 8 Arab Spring countries, 7 of them represented here at this small conference that we were at in Tunisia. These three, and I don't remember the circumstances, but these three they're praying over because they've all recently been arrested and are very probably facing prison time that's coming. So they marked out a special time for just prayer for them. There's another fellow worker, Scott Smith. Let's see, where are we here? Yeah, right there. She belongs to Scott Smith. Scott did a lot of translating for me during the 2 days. Translating is a rigorous task, and Scott carried most of that load in Tunisia. Oops, how did that slide get in there? She's holding a cigar. Actually, she's not smoking a cigar. She's holding my cigar. We were at an opera restaurant. Once in a while, I go places and never tour anything, but when Nancy is along, we do manage to do some things. There are restaurants in Paris where there are opera singers that wander around during the meals. It's pretty cool. Here's a gang. I went to Albania after that, and there's Steve Gallagher. And Holger's been coming here for years and years and years. And Hilke, I think it is. And there's Femi. Femi and Hilke are from Kosovo. And in fact, Steve worked with Femi for 6 years before he ever bought into the paradigm. And now, over half the churches in Kosovo. Now he's the Paul in Kosovo, no question about it, Femi. But that whole gang, how many of you have had some of these guys in your home, one time or another? All right, good. This was right at the end of the time. Nice little hotel right off the ocean. Oh, I had to throw that in. Now this is a paradigm issue. I tossed a couple slides in. If Praise Assembly is going to be the host church, just like our church is for Build Here, and Praise Assembly has just leased a 20,000-foot space on the 24th floor right downtown Hong Kong of a high-rise. Which will allow us to be able to also host our center there, our global center, in partnership with them. But when you go in to the bathroom, at every toilet, this is posted, all right? The first one, that makes sense, right? Don't throw anything in the toilet. Second one, don't smoke. The third one is a paradigm issue. Some of you may have figured this out, some may not, but Indian toilets and Chinese toilets are not altogether a pleasant experience, all right? They're porcelain, and they have holes, a hole, and a place where you put your feet, and that's it, all right? Well, they put this on there because when they started bringing in Western toilets, the people stand up on the edge of the toilet, lean against the tank, so don't stand on the toilet like it's an Indian toilet. Isn't that crazy? I don't think that belongs on Sunday morning. These, just a couple others, these are the 7 key bishops from East African community, and they'll all be here at the conference this year. And then they multiplied those with the additional bishops they brought in from the 5 from the six East African community countries. And then UNUSA, together with USUFU, were here earlier this year, and we'll be bringing a team with them. And of course, this is actually Chadwick's home, and the team group he's been working with for 6-7 years that'll really help him with the base center in Chennai. Now, these are real people that we're partnering with that have significant roles in their various church networks, church movements. We just got a survey of all the players that Paul mentioned, the ones that got in those four letters of the middle letters. And if I was to talk through the audience now, it would be easy to be able to point out person after person after person that's playing a role because of our unique opportunity that we have of being able to participate with movements around the world. But one of the things we're going to be focusing on in the conference this year is this whole issue of life to the end and SEMA. And so what Nate's done is worked with the designers again, and we have Life to the End, Life Stewardship and Community, in a small booklet form now. And we'll have identifying who you're designed to be. This is these two volumes Bill wrote, very, very painstaking writing. The first one is you can basically do a pretty good job putting your SEMA together by the process, step-by-step process that he built in here from a lot of the tools, self-guided tools of art. And then this is the 10-step, becoming who you're designed to be. And the 10-step is actually in a first principles format. So the whole process is designed to focus on the fact that each one of us are unique, no two alike, even though Steve thinks he's gotten close. But no two alike. And the process helps you identify your unique giftedness and lay out your story and shape to a future life plan. And that's because if you go back to the Ephesians passage that we read, God has each one of us up on an easel. And what he's really doing is he's painting across our life the good works that he's really appointed each of us to do. And this helps everybody understand their own unique gifts and abilities. And so between now and the conference, these will be ready by the middle of the summer. So between now and the conference, most of you have done, a majority of you have done a SEMA. And but to try to get your SEMA done, if you haven't, go back and dust it off if you're not using it regularly, but then update your life to the end, because the people that are in your homes are all going to be getting these, and it'll be part of our conference. It'll be a discussion part of our conference as a whole, and I think we'll give you an opportunity to have a significant additional ministry in their lives as a result. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have brought us into your family, that you have given each of us significant work to do, and each one of us a role to play in the progress of the gospel in our churches, in our individual families, and the people that you place us around. Ask that we would be faithful stewards to that. And we just thank you as we just were able to walk through, whether it's Ali and his team and their work in North Africa, or whether it's Steve Gallagher and his team and Holger and the ones sitting around the table there, or whether it's the new young team in Hong Kong that will partner with us in working with the churches in China, that we have the opportunity of being able to not only participate in the progress of the gospel in a very significant way, but that we have the opportunity to know and fellowship with and share lives with people from all over the world that have the same goal of participating in the progress of the gospel the way it was laid out by Christ's plan in Acts. And so we thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.